Good morning, everyone. We're going to have a lot to talk about today, and we're going to start another subject. But anyway, Danella is here with me this morning.
Good morning.
And we're going to talk about a lot of things. Now, soon as I start saying that our high school students and college students during the first few days after the election of Trump, they were more positive than the older people who are out there marching, doing all kind of stuff. Lo and behold, we have all kind of hate, graffiti, letters, and everything associated with our high schools and colleges. I don't know what has happened here, but I think there's a chain reaction of hate going on, and I believe it started with Trump, because he said so many ugly, hateful things. I don't know, you know.
You're right, the hate is widespread. I heard a story over the internet of a young man, 15 years old, out with friends and family, swimming, and a white mother and her two sons tried to drown him.
That you mentioned that last week.
There is the story of several children in private schools, black children with a majority white enrollment, who've been beaten, who've had nooses hung up around the school or around the children themselves. There is the story nationally of people writing whites and coloreds on the bathrooms. A friend of ours here in Oakland was doing his custodial duties and ran upon this at the school. So even the children.
Right. You know, our children are fine until we mess them up because they're honest and innocent until we feed them this hate information. And it starts in the household.
Right.
And see, what's disturbing me now, everybody is hating everybody because this country is really messed up.
This is the agenda that the media is putting out. The images that they expose people to are divisive. Everything's divisive. This group against that group. This financial sector against that financial sector. This religious group against that religious group. It
mm-hmm.
just goes on and on. And the whole purpose is to keep us divided.
That's true. I kind of agree with that. I know that's what's happening with the African Americans for certain. I'll get into Willie Lynch again during Black History Month. But the Green Party has a lady by the name of, what is her name, Jill Stein or something like that?
Yes.
She's asking for a recount in three states. And she has already raised $5 million for that recount. Now, I mentioned something about recount last week because I had a feeling that someone was going to bring that up.
Yes.
And it said that that recount is not going to change anything. And there has been a person that has contacted the Electoral College people.
Right.
Saying that, you know, you need to go on and make Hillary the president because she got more people votes. She got the popular vote.
Correct.
And see, the Electoral College don't work that way.
Right.
As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about the Electoral College. Did I give you the...
Yes, let me see if I
okay. We're going to talk about the Electoral College in a little while. I'm going to have Danella read to you just briefly because this is part one of the Electoral College. There's a lot of confusion here. And it looks like all the states don't have a vote. I'm not certain I'm going to do my research on the news this morning, they showed the map of the United States. And the red areas were the states that had the electoral vote. Okay, and it didn't look like all the states, at least all the states should have one if it's going to be an electoral, but it didn't look that way. So what we're going to do is begin a research process starting today. Danella's just going to read to you.
I'm just pulling it up here now on the computer.
Okay. And she's going to read to you that first part. I'll show it to her pertaining to the...
I'm just waiting for it to load.
Oh, it's going slow loading. Yeah, I can't stand that either. But anyway... there may be a recount. They're going to recount the votes in three states. I don't know. We're going to see how that comes out. It's being said that it wouldn't change anything. And by me looking at that map of the United States and where the red is, it's highly possible that it wouldn't change anything.
Even and, though, like they said, that Californians were more for Hillary, but if you go by county, it's more red. And even in California, it's more red.
So well, they didn't show red on I don't
if
think.
If you go by county?
No, what I'm saying is I'm not sure if California even had one electoral vote.
College,
the state.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how this is working. Everybody I talk to don't know, who are these people? What are their names? How is it that they're able to make such major decisions? You know, I wouldn't be shocked. That's the reason why I'm still going to bring up the Constitution, and you have that on there too, but we're not going to talk about that today. I don't know how we sat back and allowed a lot of things to happen. I do realize that the people don't get to vote on everything like we should be able to do. But it appears that under the Republican administration, we have even less opportunities to vote about what's happening to us in this country. They just gone and vote for us or something. I don't know what's going on. All I know is people of the United States are going to have to start paying attention because this is affecting all lives, regardless of your nationality.
That's right.
And we need to look at it. It's clear that there are some people that are confused, including myself, about a lot of things. But that wouldn't make me want to stop finding out what's really going on. And sometimes when people run into confusion, it's just like a brick wall in front of them. They don't try to do anything else. And we're going to have to stop that, people, because we're doing that on a large scale. There are a lot of people out there that think that their vote wouldn't even count. So they didn't bother to vote. And there are people like Kanye. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Who didn't vote, but he said that if he had have voted, he would have voted for Trump. Fine, but exert your citizenship rights. Do not not vote. You know, that doesn't make sense, you know, for you to not vote since you had someone you said that you would support. And
you wanted the Electoral College, right?
Huh?
You want to be Electoral College.
Right. I want you to go to the Electoral College, and I'm going to take a move over here, and I'll be back. That's the part I want you to start reading, all of this down to the end of there, and we'll to the And then what we're going to do is during our, we're going to do these other parts, part, you know, two and things like that.
So we've gone to Wikipedia to determine who the Electoral College is.
Yeah, and they're going to give you the...
It says here, the United States Electoral College is a mechanism established by Article 2 of the United States Constitution in the indirect United States presidential election system to select the President of the United States and Vice President of the United States. Citizens of the United States vote in each state at a general election to choose a state of electors pledged to vote for a party's candidate. The 12th Amendment requires each elector to cast one vote for president and another vote for vice president. In each state and the District of Columbia, electors are chosen every 4 years on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November, and then meet to cast ballots on the first Monday after the second Wednesday in December. The candidates who receive an absolute majority of electoral votes among the states are elected president and vice president of the United States when the Electoral College vote is certified by Congress in January. There are currently a total of 538 electors, corresponding to the 435 representatives, the 100 senators, plus three electors for the District of Columbia as provided for in the 23rd Amendment.
I'm still not on.
Each state chooses electors amounting to the combined total of its senators and representatives. The Constitution bars any federal official,
yes,
elected or appointed, from being an elector. The Office of the Federal Register is charged with administering the Electoral College. In most elections, the Electoral College has elected the candidate who received the most popular votes nationwide, except in four elections, 1824, 1876, 1888, and 2000. All states except Maine and Nebraska have chosen electors on a winner-take-all basis since the 1880s. Under the winner-take-all system, the state's electors are awarded to the candidate with the most votes in that state. Maine and Nebraska use the congressional district method, selecting one elector within each congressional district by popular vote and awarding two electors by statewide popular vote. Although no elector is required by federal law to honor their pledge, there have been very few occasions when an elector voted contrary to a pledge. If no person receives an absolute majority of electoral votes for president, the 12th Amendment provides that the House of Representatives will select the president, with each of the 50 state delegations casting one vote. If no person receives a majority of electoral votes for vice president, then the Senate will select the vice president, with each of the 100 senators having one vote. So that was...
Okay, that's the basic... This is part one of the electoral system that they have going on here. As you see, there's a lot involved. Now, this map here tells us, you can't see on the radio, but go to Wikipedia, type in Electoral College of the United States, and you'll see on the map what states are important. You see how they have that broken up?
California has 55 more than any other state.
And see, Bush, that I have to give him credit. He knew what he was doing. He knew what states he already had, and he knew what states he had to go out for in order to get the electoral, college vote. And California seemed to have quite a few. But there's a reason why. We're going to do some more research on this. Now, this has to add up to, how many did they say electoral votes?
There's something, 538.
Okay.
Nationwide, corresponding to the 435 representatives, 100 senators, and three electors for the District of Columbia.
Okay. I don't know. We're going to do some more research on this because something's not right. I'm not getting this, especially when there was voter suppression. We have an issue. Now, like I said, they're in the middle of next week, they're supposed to start the recount because you have to give them 28 days to count and right. then and to make sure they have everything. They'll make sure that they do it all within the 28 days. But after that, you can ask for a recount. She's asking for a recount in three states. Now, those three states she's asking for a recount may be the states that can, you know, prove there's something that was going on wrong there, okay? Right. And she that's why she chose certain states. We'll get back to that. Anyway, go on the Internet. Jill Stein of the Green Party has raised $5 million, but I think this morning she said seven on the news, or that was her goal. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I said that last week about the recount. I had a feeling somebody was going to do that. If you want to do a recall, if this recount does not suit you, I suggest you assist in getting more people registered to vote. Because to recall, we're going to have a lot of people involved.
Absolutely.
Okay. And we already know a lot of people are not going to want to recall Trump. I'm not really in a big hurry to recall him myself because he's a businessman. Maybe he can come up with something. To keep folks from terrorizing this country, you know, internally or externally. And just let's give him a chance. Let's see what, you know.
Well, at any rate, if he is unsuitable for the job, he only gets 4 years initially to do as much damage as he can do.
And then we have to vote him back in.
Right.
If for him to have another term, we have to vote him in.
Right.
So if we're that upset and none of the other stuff we tried worked, then you definitely have to get out to the polls. So, yes, voter registration is still in order. In fact, it's always been in order. You're supposed to be registered to vote. You know, but hopefully the hate crimes go down. I'm going to go. See, I read a few years ago, I'm going to find my Pentacode book, but I remember reading that if there was a injury, a murder or something involving a hate crime, the penalty was life in prison without the possibility of parole. Mm. And I don't know if that still is in existence because, you know, Trump bought out a lot of stuff out of people, you know, all that hate and stuff. And see, hate begets hate. And Trump said some hateful words and evil words that brought out all of these people that want to harm other people from other nations. And what's so cold about it, I consider them cowards. Because they decide to come out now because Trump is president.
They feel freer to do so because he espouses so much divisiveness. Everything he talks about is divisive. He's spoken ill on women, on the disabled, on the poor, on African Americans in particular, calling us lazy. You know, he just espouses a lot of divisive language that you know, people that have been looking for something to latch on to, now this is their banner of hope.
Yep, you know, but they're not looking at it as they are hating. See, and that's how Satan works. He wants you to be so confused that you think you're doing right going around doing things that are evil and hateful. He won't even have you thinking about it.
I just looked it up as you were speaking on hate crimes, and under federal hate crime legislation, bias-motivated violence is punishable by 10 years to life in prison, and some bias-motivated crimes are punishable by the death penalty.
Okay. Now, is that California? Because I was reading the California Penal Code.
That's the federal hate
crime. That's the federal?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Hello, y'all.
JJ, how you doing?
Hi. I'm doing all right. I just wanted to touch on that. I feel like y'all are at the perfect spot as far as talking about hate crimes, because I just took some notes on a article about Will Sims of El Sobrani. He was 28. He was an accomplished musician and vocalist. He played piano, guitar, saxophone, and violin.
Speak up, JJ.
He was targeted, robbed, beaten, then shot and left on the street to die. He was pronounced dead on the scene. Police openly stated that Sims was targeted by three white men who killed him because he was black. This story especially sticks with me because I'm a musician and vocalist myself. And they've also stated, they made sure to say that he had no criminal history. I also share that with Will Sims. I just turned 30 this year, and one of the things that I make sure to do is I try to stay under the radar, whether I'm driving in my vehicle or walking down the street. I choose certain streets to go down to make sure that I'm not mingling in with the crowd, or I don't know. It's too complex to really say, but it's something that I shouldn't have to do. I should feel free to go wherever I please, as long as I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right.
And this sticks with me because this happened shortly after Trump's victory, which you would think people who are who feel victorious would want to calm down on the violence, but apparently that's not the case. It's actually ramped it up, and it's made people feel like the need to do something, because that anger that happened before the election didn't dissipate. That
right.
anger had to go somewhere.
It's that they were looking for.
Right. So...
because evil doesn't make sense. And the people that are under the influence of unclean spirits, they don't realize that they don't make sense. They
right.
don't realize.
Right.
Well, anyway, so, JJ, I wanna talk about a something else here, and I want you to stay on and listen. Because
okay.
I want to get back to this soda tax thing, because something came to me in my sleep. I never even put together or thought about the caffeine that's in sodas.
Right.
Caffeine is a drug.
It is.
And I don't know if our kids... having a caffeine issue. I thought after I had dreamed about it, my nephew came over yesterday, and he said, "Auntie, do you have a soda for me? Because I usually keep sodas." And I told him, "No, And that's when it flashed on me that he also likes the colas with the caffeine. Instead of sugar, are we having a caffeine problem with our children? I don't know. Because I have seen parents give children sodas that had the caffeine in it. And I saw it right on the TV with, I wanted to get my great-grandchildren into modeling and stuff like that because they like to be seen and sing and dance. But anyway, I started watching the show Toddlers and Tiaras. And the parents, to keep the children awake to go through the whole process of this contest stuff, they're giving their children sodas, candy. They have the sugar in that long tube, mm-hmm. the Kool-Aid thing. They're giving them that coffee in order for them to stay woke and be a part of the competition. I didn't think about it as that being child abuse the way I'm thinking about it now, because you shouldn't have to force your children into being models and beauty queens and all of this stuff by giving them candies and all of this stuff. JJ, what you think of that?
Well, I think there's a difference between being an adult and being able to make those type of choices on your own and having that, and then having that being forced upon you as a child because your parents told you that this is what you need in order to stay up. I know for me as an adult, I'm about 230 pounds, 6'4". I drink a large bottle of Starbucks coffee, and that has me wide awake for 6 hours because I don't drink a lot of caffeine. Veteran caffeine drinkers, maybe that's not strong enough for them. But for myself, I'm going to say that's pretty strong to be able to stay up for, 6 hours after not getting enough sleep for the night and to be able
right.
to sit all day and do data entry. So,
that happens. I'm not a coffee drinker either. But if I want to wake up, I get coffee. I messed around and got one of them Laka Tacos, tacos, whatever they call them. One day, I don't know, I was wired up all night practically. I didn't need that type. I just needed a little caffeine to keep me going because I had a lot of stuff that I had to do that next morning, and I had been up late and everything. And I can't deal with no caffeine. That just makes me a neurotic mess. So that's the reason why I know that caffeine in those sodas it's usually the colas. As a matter of fact, Coca-Cola used to have cocaine in it.
That's right.
It started out with having cocaine in
that.
It. Huh?
I was saying I learned about that.
Yeah, well, it did. It had cocaine in it, and they had to take that out, so I guess they substituted for caffeine, and just as bad. But I just wanted to kind of touch bases on that because I hadn't thought about the caffeine part of the sodas.
Well, kidshealth.org website says how caffeine affects kids. Abruptly stopping caffeine may cause withdrawal symptoms, headaches, muscle aches, temporary depression, and irritability, especially for those who are used to consuming a lot of it. Caffeine can make heart problems or nervous disorders worse, and some kids might not know that they're at risk. That's from the kidshealth.org website.
Okay,
wow.
Kids' website, they're going to have a whole thing on caffeine in children. So we're messing up our kids, people. We're giving those kids enough caffeine for someone to have a protest against it. So I'm concerned about them being addicts, and it's not the sugar. You know, you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And that's sad. That's sad. We're going to do a little bit more research on that as well and see how that comes out. But my whole thing for getting on this subject is for those parents that are giving their children this stuff, and they want it, you know, the sodas and stuff, and they're acting. I didn't even pay attention to them little kids enough to think that they might be addicts, you know, because the parents are giving them sodas and coffee.
In addition to that, caffeine blocks the intake of calcium into a child's body, so their bones aren't even developing correctly.
Oh,
they're, you know, if they're taking in too much caffeine.
Oh, Lord. What are we going to do with
our kids?
In addition to that, I'm sorry to interrupt. In addition to that, I wanted to say that there's a lot of other chemicals that are in soda besides caffeine that needs to be addressed as well, like the different dyes in soda and stuff like that.
That's not
causes.
Him.
So.
I don't know. We're going to do a little bit more research and see what's really going on here. But I want you to continue to collect your receipts. And after the beginning of the year, collect receipts. Somewhere before the first quarter ends, I want to have done enough research to see if there was a change in what is happening at the stores. Now, we are probably only going to have to be concerned about the big stores for now with the taxes on soda, as they call it. The little stores, less than $150,000, they're not going to even be bothered with. And that's an unfairness there when it's apparent to me that the little stores who are also selling sodas, a lot of sodas, they're also selling beer and wine and I don't think they're doing the tax on any of that, and now they won't have to tax it because they're reporting less than $150,000 a year, which I don't believe. But anyway, keep in mind, people, you don't want to fall for a lot of things that's happening now. It's something going on here in this country, and I think they're hiding the fact that we have a bunch of caffeine addicts running around. School children that are selling drugs. Not only that, they carrying guns. I'm talking about elementary school people. And if we got some caffeine addicts running around here loose, it'll be easy to turn them out on something heavier than that. And we do have some elementary school drug addicts. Alcoholics and things like that. These are babies. It don't make no sense. And that's child abuse. I consider all that part of child abuse. You guys having these kids selling drugs and taking drugs. That's child abuse. And I can't see to call it anything else. But anyway, we're going to be back with the Electoral College next week. Did you find some other information that we needed to talk about real quick on that?
Not on the Electoral College, but piggybacking on what you said about the soda tax.
Yeah.
It says most people, it was called a grocery tax initially.
Right.
Most people know it by the name of the soda tax.
Right.
They say it's a brilliant rebranding, but first a little background. Once considered a radical idea, soda taxes are gaining momentum. Philadelphia passed one in June. In November, the San Francisco Bay Area, California passed the soda tax.
Mm-hmm.
In all these places, the basic idea is essentially the same. Drinking sugary beverages leads to obesity, diabetes, and a host of other health problems.
That's true.
Since soda companies target residents of poor neighborhoods, particularly people of color, those people end up disproportionately getting sick from drinking too much soda. The tax makes sugary drinks, not just soda, but any drink, juices, iced tea, etc., with added sugar, more expensive, which in theory discourages people from buying them. The money the cities raise from the tax goes towards programs like free preschool that help the people that sodas hurt. Of course, soda companies are not big fans of these taxes, and they're dipping into their deep pockets to fight them. But as we know, in the Oakland area where we live, that bill, the initiative passed.
So basically what I'm getting out of that is that the small stores who I'm having a problem with, who do not have to deal with the soda tax,
mm-hmm.
are definitely going to push up the sales of soda in this community because that's the target. That's the target.
Right.
You know, they already know we got some kids that are caffeine addicts.
This store at the corner has a whole aisle. Besides what's in the refrigerated section, they have a whole aisle of just sugary beverages on either side. So, you know, you have a plethora of things to choose from. That's the thing, right at the eye level. Child, if you walk into the store, it's right at
the eye level. Okay. JJ, did you have something to say?
Yes, I wanted to share a fear that just popped up as we were discussing the soda tax. What I also know about these soda companies is that they own a lot of the water brand names that we're used to seeing. My main fear is that because of these soda taxes happening, you know, nationwide, what would end up happening is they would raise up the price of water in order to compensate for the tax.
Being able to sell soda.
Right.
Either way it go, I've always said no matter where the upping of the price come from, the top or in between, the bottom people, which are the consumers, or lower level people are the ones that are going to have to pay for it. It's always been that way.
Right.
I can't conceive it changing. And did you have something?
I noticed they have a lot of all the candy right at the front of the counter.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the kids can't count their change back, they take it. I didn't walk to the store and talk to the kids, no, this is what you're supposed to get back. They look at me like I'm crazy. So
they still doing that?
They take it from the kids.
I know they're taking it from the kids. I didn't call that once at that.
Right on the counter where they can see all them zuzus and wham-whams. They set it up. They just straighten that out again over there to where it's moved potato chips, peanuts, and put candy. As soon as the kids go in the store, they
candy, that's what they see is candy.
Right. And that's hype for the kids.
That's true.
Yep, well.
That's crazy.
Also,
but it's all brilliant marketing.
Those Arizona teas, 99 cents. They said a dollar. 99 cents is not a dollar. They charge you a dollar and don't tell you that. Say you get a whole year of 10 pennies a day up in that store. That's extra money for them. They don't give you that dollar. They always say a dollar. They don't ever give you that penny back.
Okay. Yes, that is another issue I have, you know, but I also thought about these small stores that also have Lotto in them, okay? I talked to someone who felt that she was cheated. She won. And they just only gave her a few dollars, but she remembered her numbers. And she felt that she won the Lotto. And you, in the store, people took her money.
Wow.
And so I wanted to test that. So what I did was I Xeroxed my Lotto tickets And I was going back to, because what you do is they know you haven't checked the numbers. You asking them to check your ticket for, you know. And all I know is we have to be careful. It appears that they're taking your lotto money as well. You're not keeping track of it. But anyway, I Xeroxed my lotto numbers, and I went to that store that she, you know. So I went in, I asked, did they print out? Because some stores print out the winning numbers and have a shelf for it where you can go and pick up your numbers.
Right.
This particular store didn't do that. And so I had my Xerox copy with me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you Xerox
it? Wow.
And
he wasn't expecting that.
No, he wasn't expecting that, because if that catches on and everybody has Xerox copies, even if they cheated them in the store, they would still have their copy.
Right.
I started signing my signature on the back of the card, on the back of that ticket. But I recently felt that they could possibly get away with that also.
Because
all I did was sign it. I didn't put no address, no nothing. So I'm not.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, see, I did that because when I worked for Alameda County, we had a lotto club. It was a lot of us playing together. We would, you know, pool our monies together.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd have to do is Xerox a copy for everyone that, you know, was in the pool for that day. Whatever, and they would have a copy of it, so they'll know what numbers were what. And I think maybe that's a good idea for some of you. If you play lotto on a regular basis, you need to have some kind of record of your ticket, because these small stores appear to be stealing your lotto money also. We can't count. They're already saying black folks stupid, illiterate. Can't count.
Right.
You know, so they're treating us that way. You know, that's how you get treated. And if you don't educate your children and teach them how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide, they're going to teach your children, too.
That's right.
Uh-huh. They're going to teach your children. And that's what the audience man was saying. He saw them doing that. And I had already experienced that, and I made him correct it, you know. And I knew he tried to play like it was an accident. He miscounted. We ain't talking about nothing but 25 cents. You know, with 5 cents candies, you get five of them, not four. And I've already seen that happen. So I have to fault the people in the community as well. You're going to have to teach your children how to count. They need to know all of this stuff before they start school, their name, address, telephone number. Do you know there are some children that start school that don't even know their parents' name?
Wow.
I've just recently discovered that. It's just mama and daddy, and that's it. And
it's
sad.
It's
sad. Story.
You know, and that's our fault. You know, we messing up our kids. Now we got a whole population of drug addict kids running around here loose.
You're right.
You know, their mama was on crack while she was carrying that child.
And you are born with an addictive gene.
Yeah, you are born with issues of drug use, you know, and you have to, and the Bible kind of touched bases on that. That lets us know that that could be passed down, okay? Because Mary, John the Baptist's mother, she didn't drink any wine. Was something in her, you know, something that the Lord does or something. She didn't drink any wine. John the Baptist couldn't even have the skin of a grape. all the way, yeah, he couldn't have no grapes, no nothing. So I believe the Bible was telling us that it goes, passes down when you read about, you know, other folk in the Bible. First of all, people, we all come from way back in biblical days, alcoholics and drug addicts, okay? They had to drink the wine for the stomach's sake because the water wasn't pure enough for, you know, drinking. It was safer for you to drink wine. And now, the evil grape growers who had a problem with growing sweet grapes, they were sour grapes growing, they would add gall to it, G-A-L-L. And gall could consist of any of the opiates, hemlock, mandrake, those poison mushroom things, mm-hmm. they put all that stuff in the wine back in those days because it was sour. It was vinegar wine. And see, and once a person gets high off of it, that's what they want. They're becoming addicted to sour grape wine. And all I can say is, that has been passed on down to many of us, you know, going back from biblical days. So we're just going to have to make sure we take care of our children, our future, right. You know, because some of us are already messed up and we need to be protecting our children now in the future, you know, because that is our future. But anyway, I wanted to touch bases on that. But another issue I thought about, now, I think we need to get rid of Wells Fargo Bank. The reason being, this came to my mind, the people, the big people, the head of people, up at the top people, they're not the ones going to go to jail. They got all kinds of people that are going to take the fall, or it's going to, the crime is going to be passed down to lower people. And if that is the case, then the main people that were involved with opening up all of these bank accounts under people's names and they didn't even know it, they're still there. That's what it looks like. They are still there. And they had fall guys. They already knew that they was going to have a fall people.
Right.
You know, who they were going to blame everything on. And it's usually the lower peons, as I call ourselves. And maybe you should think about not doing any business with them.
For those who don't know the story briefly, Wells Fargo employees opened over 2 million phony accounts under customers' names who had no idea that those accounts existed. So as you're speaking of Fall Guys, they fired 5,300 employees, but we know that the scandal came from higher up.
Had to.
There's no way that just regular, everyday employees are going to be able to get away with something like that over a long period of time.
Not like that, unless the higher up, or if that's the case, they were incompetent, so you need to fire them.
Right.
You know, I saw a case like that in Alameda County. This girl I knew, I went to high school with her. She's called the welfare fraud queen. She worked for Alameda County as well. She worked in the fair hearing, when somebody requests a fair hearing under the welfare system. She was the supervisor there. So she had access to opening and closing cases, writing checks, and have him mailed to whatever address she wanted him to be mailed to. And they had counted, when they arrested, they had counted up to $2 million. That's why we call her the welfare queen. Well, wow. They had already, she had bought houses in the hills and all kind of stuff. And she was smart also, because everything wasn't in her name.
Right.
So when she did her time, she still had a house when she got out of jail, because it was in somebody else's name. But anyway, how she got caught was the head person started reviewing the printouts, because you get these long stacks every month, I don't know, reviewing printouts.
Right.
And one of the days that he was reviewing those printouts, he saw something strange about cases being opened. So that's when they started the investigation on her. By the time they was positive of what was going on, because she didn't use the same case all the time.
Right.
You know, they had to wait and try to find what case number or what Social Security number was used or whatever. But she didn't include the top man in it, the one that read the form. She had a whole bunch of people with her, but she didn't include the top man. I wonder if she had included him, would she be caught yet? But she didn't include him, the top man, and he's the one that caught it.
That's a good point.
And he is the one that caught it, but I'll never forget that. That was just something else I wanted to share with you. But anyway, back to the Wells Fargo thing and opening up these accounts. Maybe we should do credit unions. I don't know. I'm going to start doing some research on credit unions, give you some information on that. And hopefully we'll be able to answer a lot of the questions, especially those about the election. Now, I'm getting ready to close. JJ, are you still there?
I am still here.
Is there anything you want to say when we close here?
Just for closing, I just really want to say that there's a lot going on, and there's a lot to digest right now. And I just foresee a major change, positive or negative. And I just think the best way to move through this change is to be prepared as much as possible.
That's right. Do you have anything you want to say, Danella?
Just that as a community, we need to be reaching out. This is not a festive time for everybody this time of year, and that there are many people who are going through things, and if you see someone or know someone that's going through something and you can extend yourself to them, you know, suicides are elevated during this time of year. So just reach out and extend yourself, you know, in peace and love to somebody
right.
that may need it.
That's showing love. Okay, knowing is not enough, we must apply. Willing is not enough, we must do. Until we meet again, I love you.